It used to be that building software was, well, it was kind of like trying to construct a skyscraper with a pair of tweezers.
Oh, absolutely.
Like you were down there in the dirt, manually placing every single grain of sand, fighting with syntax, and just pulling your hair out over a single missing semicolon.
Right, the classic missing semicolon that crashes the entire program.
Exactly. But what if you could just stand on an empty lot, point at the sky, describe the building you want out loud, and just, watch it assemble itself?
It sounds like magic, but that is basically where we are.
It really is. And that is the core premise of a super fascinating 2026 document we are unpacking today called the Vibe Coding Roadmap.
Yeah, it's a great piece of source material.
So, okay, let's unpack this. The mission for today's deep dive is to figure out how software development is being completely rewritten in real time. Because the days of memorizing endless lines of syntax and fighting compiler errors, I mean, those days are dying out right now.
They really are. It is a fundamental paradigm shift in how we actually interact with machines. We're basically moving entirely away from manual translation.
Manual translation, like typing out the specific commands.
Yeah, exactly. Historically, a developer's main job was translating an abstract human idea into this really rigid, unforgiving machine language.
Because the machine couldn't guess what you meant.
Right, the machine was stupid, so the human had to be perfectly precise. But now we're in a world of direction. Developers just describe their intent in plain English or, whatever their native language is.
And the AI just does the translating.
In seconds. An AI assistant drafts the working code instantly. And the implications for the global economy and specifically for how people build wealth and careers right now are just staggering.
I mean, I want to get our vocabulary straight before we dive into the economic side of things. Because the term used in the roadmap, vibe coding, it sounds almost, I don't know, too casual.
Too casual for something as historically complex as computer science.
Yeah, exactly. Where did this term actually come from?
So the term was popularized back in early 2025 by Andrej Karpathy. He's a very prominent AI researcher.
Oh, right, I've heard of him.
Yeah, and he used this phrase, giving in to the vibes. He was basically describing this new workflow where you let the artificial intelligence handle all the heavy lifting of code generation.
Like the tedious, repetitive typing parts.
Exactly. The human developer shifts their focus entirely to intent, architectural direction, and review.
Okay, so you just tell it what to do.
You describe a feature, the AI graphs it, and then you test and refine it through this ongoing conversation with the machine.
That makes me think of like walking into a Michelin star kitchen.
Okay, I like that.
If you just walk in and shout, "Make me a cake,"
Huh.
to a team of master chefs, they might just hand you a generic sponge cake.
Right, you get what you ask for.
But to get a masterpiece, you have to specify the flavor profile, the number of tiers, the type of buttercream, how to plate it. You actually have to know a lot about the mechanics of baking to give good instructions.
Even if you never actually touch a whisk yourself.
Exactly. You're just directing the experts.
That captures the dynamic perfectly. What's fascinating here is that vibe coding does not remove the need for skill. It just completely changes what the word skill actually means.
It redefines it entirely.
Yeah. The most valuable developer in a company is no longer the fastest typist. It's not the person who memorized the most obscure programming patterns anymore.
So who is it?
The premium is now placed on the clearest thinker, the best prompter, and the most careful reviewer. It really elevates the job from manual labor to architectural oversight.
Managing the system instead of hammering the nails.
Precisely.
Wait, hold on though. I have to push back on this a little bit.
Sure, go ahead.
If the AI writes the code in 10 seconds, and this workflow elevates a developer to basically a manager of automated systems, then one person is effectively doing the work of three or four traditional programmers.
In terms of sheer output, yes.
Right. So if that's true, shouldn't companies be laying off their engineering teams? Why is this roadmap highlighting a massive hiring boom?
Ah, well, that assumes the demand for software is finite.
And it's not.
It isn't, not even close. The
Yeah.
demand for digital tools and automation is practically infinite. Companies don't want to just save a little money by maintaining their current output with fewer people.
They want to do more.
Exactly. They want to ship vastly more products, vastly faster. And the roadmap points to incredibly high adoption rates driving this. Right now, 84% of professional developers report using or planning to use AI coding tools.
Wow, 84%.
And 51% are using them daily. GitHub Copilot, which is one of the leading AI coding assistants, it's deployed at roughly 90% of Fortune 100 companies.
90%. So this is not just some fringe experiment.
No, it is the baseline industry standard today.
Okay, so they are reinvesting the save time into scaling up completely.
Exactly. And the hiring data proves it, especially when we look at global tech hubs. The roadmap focuses really heavily on India, where we are seeing an unprecedented acceleration.
Yeah, the numbers in the source were wild.
In 2025 alone, companies posted over 2.9 lakh AI-linked roles.
Let me just pause you right there for our global listeners who might not know. A lakh is 100,000. So we were talking about 290,000 open AI roles in India just last year.
Correct. And the projection for 2026 is nearly 3.8 lakh positions, so 380,000.
That's a huge jump.
It's a 32% year-on-year growth rate. By the end of 2026, the country is projected to host over 1 million active AI and machine learning roles.
1 million. That's just staggering.
Generative AI and large language model skills specifically saw a 60% jump in demand. And there are really three major forces driving this insatiable hunger for talent.
Okay, what's the first one?
First is the explosion of global capability centers, or GCCs. International firms from the US, Europe, Japan, they are aggressively opening massive engineering centers in India to capture this talent.
Right, setting up shop where the talent is.
Exactly. Second is digital transformation across non-tech sectors. Banks, healthcare providers, retail chains, they are all desperate to build custom AI tools, automated customer service, fraud detection.
Everyone needs software now.
And third, remote work has just completely normalized cross-border hiring.
Right. And when you have demand growing by roughly 40%, while the supply of skilled workers is only creeping up by, what, 15 or 20%, salaries are going to go through the roof.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, the roadmap shows that freshers, so people with 0 to 2 years of experience, are pulling in anywhere from 4.5 to 10 LPA. And again, for the international audience, LPA means lakhs per annum. So hundreds of thousands of rupees per year.
And that's just the starting point.
Yeah. Top-end packages at startups are hitting 15 LPA for beginners. If you are a lead or an architect, you are looking at 70-plus LPA.
It's a very lucrative market.
And the document specifically calls out Hyderabad as a major hotspot for this wealth generation.
Hmm.
Why is Hyderabad pulling so much of this specific weight?
Well, Hyderabad accounts for roughly 12.5% of India's AI job openings right now. It has this really unique combination of factors.
Like what?
It is seeing a massive influx of those global capability centers we just mentioned, and it already has a very strong tech and pharmaceutical ecosystem. But the real key is the cost of living.
Okay, how so?
The pay for these generative AI roles in hubs like Bengaluru and Hyderabad is 20 to 40% above the national average.
Wow.
Yeah. So when you pair a 40% salary premium with Hyderabad's relatively lower cost of living compared to, you know, places like Mumbai, the real purchasing power for a developer is just incredible.
So companies are paying an absolute premium for these developers. But, I mean, what are they actually paying for? Let's get out of the macroeconomics for a second.
Sure.
If the AI writes the code, what is the human actually doing for 8 hours a day in that Hyderabad office?
Good question. The day-to-day workflow is highly interactive. A vibe coding developer usually starts by taking business requirements and translating them into highly specific prompts.
Like the Michelin chef analogy.
Exactly. They take a vague request from a product manager and break it down into very clear, logical steps that an AI can actually execute. The AI generates the code, and then the developer's job shifts to rigorous review.
They have to check the work.
Right. They read the output critically, they catch logical errors, and they improve the efficiency of the code structure. From there, they build and connect the different components, making sure the visual interface talks properly to the database.
And what happens when it doesn't work?
Well, they also use the AI to assist with debugging. When something breaks, they don't manually hunt for a missing comma anymore. They feed the error logs and crash reports back into the model to diagnose the root cause quickly.
Here is where it gets really interesting, though, because there's a catch.
There always is.
The roadmap drops a statistic that changes the entire complexion of this workflow. Roughly 29% of Python code generated by these AI assistants contains potential security weaknesses.
Yes, that is a critical data point.
Almost a third. I mean, that brings to mind another analogy. Using AI to code is basically like hiring a brilliant, tirelessly energetic but incredibly reckless intern.
That's a very accurate way to put it.
They work at the speed of light. They're fluent in every programming language on Earth.
Right.
But you absolutely cannot, under any circumstances, publish their work directly to the public without auditing it first.
No, you can't. And that 29% vulnerability rate is exactly why human judgment is the irreplaceable asset in the 2026 tech landscape.
It's the whole job now.
Pretty much. We have telemetry data now, which is basically the automated performance data we collect on how software is built and how it runs in the real world.
Right.
That telemetry shows a massive and growing share of merged code today is AI authored. But human verification is non-negotiable.
Because if you don't check it,
if you blindly ship an AI-written authentication system or a payment gateway, you are going to get hacked. Full stop. The developers commanding 70 lakhs per annum are the ones who combine AI fluency with strict, uncompromising engineering discipline. They are paid to be the person who can spot the hidden trap doors that the brilliant intern accidentally built.
Which means if you are listening to this right now and you want to capture some of that ROI for yourself, you need to learn how to be the auditor.
Absolutely.
So how does someone actually pivot their learning to get from zero to hired? The roadmap outlines a four-stage action plan. Let's break down the how and the why of each step here.
Let's do it. So the underlying philosophy of the roadmap is that you build real projects at every single stage. You do not just sit and read theory for 6 months.
Hands-on from day one.
Yes. Stage one is the beginner stage. This is where you learn computational logic, the basics of prompting, and fundamental structural languages like HTML and CSS. You also learn version control, specifically Git.
Let me stop you there, though. If AI can generate a gorgeous website interface from a single prompt, why are we starting by learning HTML, which is basically just the skeleton of a web page?
Because if the AI makes a mistake in how a button is positioned or how a text box scales on a mobile phone screen, you need to know how to open the code and manually adjust those HTML tags.
Oh, I see. You have to know the raw materials.
Exactly. You need to know what the structural materials are. And you mentioned version control. Git is essentially a time machine for your project.
A time machine?
Yeah. Every time you make a change, Git saves a snapshot. If your reckless AI intern completely breaks your application, Git allows you to revert back to the exact moment before the disaster.
Oh, that is crucial.
It's a lifesaver. So you start by using standard tools like ChatGPT and visual editors to just build a simple static portfolio site.
Okay, so you have a static website. It looks nice, but it doesn't really do anything yet. That brings us to the intermediate stage.
Right. This is where you introduce interactivity. You learn JavaScript and you learn how to work with APIs.
Remind us what an API is in this context.
An API or application programming interface is essentially a digital waiter.
A waiter. Okay.
If your weather app needs to know the temperature in London, it uses an API to send a request to a massive weather database, and the API brings the data back to your app.
Got it.
At this stage, you start using more integrated AI tools, specifically Cursor AI.
Oh, I saw a note on Cursor in the source. Cursor is a code editor that has AI built directly into its core, right?
Yes, deeply integrated.
And it grew so fast, it surpassed $2 billion in annualized recurring revenue by early 2026. Developers are just flocking to this because it allows you to chat with your entire code base.
It's incredible.
Like, you can highlight a block of JavaScript and just hit a hotkey to ask the AI what it does, or tell it to rewrite the function to run faster.
Which accelerates your learning exponentially. You aren't Googling errors anymore on Stack Overflow. Your editor is literally tutoring you in real time.
That's wild.
Once you can build a dynamic app with APIs, you move to the advanced stage. And this is typically the hardest jump for traditional learners.
Okay, what do you learn here?
You learn backend logic and databases using Python and SQL.
Explain why that's traditionally the hardest jump. What is the bottleneck there?
Historically, connecting a database, which is the backend where user data and passwords are saved to the visual website on the front end, it requires a lot of really complex configuration.
Like getting two different brains to talk to each other.
Exactly. It is called becoming a full stack developer because you manage the entire stack of technologies. This is where most self-taught coders used to quit. But the roadmap introduces agentic IDEs here, like Windsurf.
Agentic IDEs?
Oh.
What makes an environment agentic compared to something like Cursor?
So an agentic IDE doesn't just autocomplete your sentences or rewrite a single file. It acts as an autonomous agent.
Meaning it does things on its own.
Yes. You can tell Windsurf, hey, I need to add a user login system. The agent will independently navigate your file structure, write the database tables in SQL, update the Python backend to handle the password securely, and then alter the front-end JavaScript to display the actual login button. It takes multi-step actions across your entire project. Your goal at this stage is to ship a complete full-stack application from scratch.
I have to jump in here with the big question, though.
Hit me.
If Windsurf is autonomously jumping across my files and writing SQL databases and Python logic, do you really not need a computer science degree anymore?
That's a fair question.
I mean, if I am relying on an agent to build my backend, aren't I fundamentally blind to how it actually works under the hood? Doesn't skipping 4 years of university theory leave you dangerously exposed?
It is a valid concern, for sure, but the reality of the 2026 job market offers a really clear counterargument. Vibe coding is beginner-friendly, yes, but it is not skill-free.
You still have to know things.
You are still learning Python, JavaScript, and SQL. You are still learning how relational databases store data and how APIs authenticate users. The crucial difference is that you are learning them in context.
In context, right.
When the agent writes the SQL database, you review it. You learn how data relates by watching the AI build it and then breaking it and fixing it.
Hands-on experience instead of textbook theory.
Exactly. And when it comes to getting hired, employers are looking at tangible output. A portfolio of 3 to 5 real, complex, deployed projects proves that you know how to build, secure, and maintain software.
Which is what they actually need.
Right. That beats a theoretical degree or paper certificates every single time. The governing mantra of this era is vibe code fast, engineer carefully.
I like that.
You use the AI to prototype at breakneck speed, but you apply real rigorous discipline before that code ever touches a live user.
Which leads directly into the final step, the expert stage. This is about architecture, security, and deployment.
The big leagues.
Yeah, you are using the full AI tool chain to design production-grade software. You aren't just making weather apps anymore. You are building e-commerce platforms handling real money or your own AI-powered SaaS tools.
Exactly.
It's the speed of those drag-and-drop no-code platforms we used to see. But because you are actually generating raw code, there is no ceiling on your potential. You aren't trapped in someone else's templates.
And that combination of a low barrier to entry and an infinitely high skill ceiling is why this is an unprecedented career opportunity. You have a structural talent shortage that is expected to persist well into the 2030s.
So the jobs are going to be there.
Oh, for sure. If you follow this structured path, build a massive portfolio, and internalize the discipline required to audit AI systems, you position yourself in the most lucrative sector of the global economy.
This has been a massive shift to process. I mean, we started with Andrej Karpi telling us to give in to the vibes, moving away from tedious typing to focus purely on architecture and intent.
Right.
We explored the exploding economics of this with companies rushing to build so much software that the demand for AI-assisted developers has created a 40% hiring surge, turning cities like Hyderabad into wealth-generating epicenters.
Huge economic shifts.
We looked at the terrifying reality that almost a third of AI-generated code has security flaws, which paradoxically is exactly why human auditors are commanding such massive salaries.
Job security through security flaws.
Exactly. And we walked through a 4-stage roadmap that bypasses traditional degrees by leveraging AI agents to learn full-stack development in context.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, the absolute certainty to take away from all of this is that vibe coding is the new default.
There's no going back.
None. Among new developers entering the industry right now, a vast majority adopt these AI coding tools within their first week on the job. The entire next generation of the profession is being trained on these conversational methods.
That's incredible.
Learning to direct, review, and mathematically secure AI-generated code is the ultimate future-proof skill. The menial labor of software development has basically been automated. The architectural vision and the final verification, that is what the market is aggressively paying for today.
The bricks are going to lay themselves, but someone still has to make absolutely sure the skyscraper doesn't fall down.
Very well said.
Which leaves you with a final thought to mull over. If AI tools are advancing so rapidly that they can generate entire full-stack applications from a single prompt, but they consistently introduce hidden flaws that only a highly skilled human can catch. Wait, actually, let me rephrase that.
Sure.
If these tools keep hiding flaws that only we can catch, will the most highly paid elite developer of the 2030s be someone who never actually writes a single original line of code themselves?
It's a real possibility.
Will the future of computer science simply be high-stakes editing, just a master architect managing a crew of brilliant, reckless interns? Something to think about. Thanks for taking the deep dive with us.